Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach.
You can be seated. Well, we're wrapping up a wonderful weekend, the beautiful day. It was an amazing conference. We just had so much fun, so much fun. You know, heaven bent low and kissed the earth, and we got caught in the smack. It was awesome. Our theme for this year was the treasure. And, you know, as we were preparing, we invited Christy Johnson from Southern California. She's one of the singers in the band Worth Dying For. She and her husband, a young couple, just full of the Spirit of God, full of His power, pioneering a work in Southern California, a new church called Fearless. They've been in ministry, Christy, all her life. She was a PK. And then as she and her husband stepped out, they were youth ministers of a ministry called The Stadium. If you want to check them out, we encourage you to do that. Just go to iamammo.com or go to podcast, Google online, Jeremy Johnson. And they're just a powerhouse couple. And so she came and ministered. We had Pastor Michelle from Bluffton, Indiana, and Rochelle Stetch from Bristol, Indiana, and yours truly. And so we kicked it off on Friday afternoon, and I was praying, and in my prayer and preparation time, I was thinking, Lord, the treasure, the treasure. You know, I love to exhort people. I love to get in your face and tell you how much God loves you, how precious and valuable you are to Him. You know, that you are a treasure to Jesus. You are a treasure to the Father. You are such a treasure, and just helped you to lift your estimation of who you are in Christ because of His great love for you. And so, you know, naturally, I'm kind of thinking, okay, I'm going to go, the direction for the message is going to be bent that way. But the Holy Spirit kind of checked me, and He said, you know, in this hour, the message that I want my people to hear is that I am their treasure. I am the greatest treasure they will ever know and experience, that personal encounter with me. And He wants you to have fresh and frequent encounters with Him. Amen. Every day, every day. The Word says His mercies are new every morning. He wants us to encounter Him every day and throughout the day. And so as we opened up the conference, I began to share, as the Spirit of God led me, about how awesome a treasure He is to us. And you know, Pastor Michelle, her message was awesome. I was really challenged. It was about really knowing God, you know, being more than like a friend on Facebook. So many of us, you know, we say, well, okay, we're a friend of God. Yeah, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a friend of God. But we know about Him about as much as we know the 750 friends we have on Facebook. Where really, we only truly know maybe a handful. We're only deeply, intimately acquainted with just a few. And she challenged us, do you know God? Right. Do you know Him beyond just salvation? Have you spent time in His presence? Have you really gotten to know Him? Do you just know about Him, or do you know Him? Right. Amen? And then Rochelle, she brought such a wonderful message about, you know, that intimate face-to-face time with Him. That we can manifest His characteristics. As she studied the Beatitudes and saw what pleased God, the quiet, the peaceable spirit, that gentleness. Have we studied out the Word of God to see what His characteristics are? And is our life as a believer emulating those characteristics to the world? Amen? And how important it is for us to have that one-on-one time with Him and to get away from the noise and get away from all the distractions of life and hide ourselves in His presence and in His Word and let Him speak to us. Let Him renew us. It's so important. Romans 12, 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages is Scripture. You know, because the world is always tugging on us, and there's always a battle going on. Because as long as you're in this earth and in your earth suit, Satan is going to target you because he wants to get at the heart of the Father, and the best way to do that is to hit his children. So there is a war going on, but the good news is Jesus said, you are more than a conqueror through him. But you've got to know what he says, because Hosea told us that we can perish for a lack of knowledge. If we don't know what he says, then we're going to die from ignorance, and we don't want to do that, right? So back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, if we're not going to be like the world, if when we go out into the workplace and we're living amongst our family members who are still lost, and we're living amongst the people on the job who don't know Jesus Christ, and when we're walking around and just doing life in this world, the people recognize that there's something different about us because we have been born of the Almighty Spirit of the living God. The word says that if we're not going to be conformed to this world, then we need to be transformed. And our transformation begins at salvation, but continues as we renew our minds to the word of God. And we find out what his word says. Amen. And then I had part two, message two. Message two is now, you get message two continued. When I had my second opportunity to get up and share with the women this weekend, you know, I just felt so excited because the Holy Ghost said, you get to tell them that I gave them gifts. And the first gift I gave them was the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Ho-ra-ba-da-da-sa. Hallelujah. Now, if that freaks you out, we're going to settle some things today. Because you know what? I was raised Southern Baptist. I mean, the strongest influence in my life up to age 13 really was Southern Baptist. And we didn't believe in speaking in tongues. We thought, you know, that died with the apostles, and really the book of Acts was the book we skipped in the New Testament, even though it is the most pivotal message of the church being birthed. And wouldn't you agree that someone's last words to you before they leave planet Earth are pretty important? I mean, after the whole life of Jesus Christ and his ministry on this earth, he had words that he wanted to make sure his followers heard. And so get your Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter 1, because we're going to read it. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Let's just start at verse 3. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them, say he commanded them, not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. He commanded them. This is something that was very important. A command is the highest way that somebody can influence an order or an edict and a decree. He didn't suggest it, he commanded it. It wasn't a multiple choice thing. Jesus said, I command you to go and not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Let's keep reading. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized, placed and introduced into the Holy Spirit. This is what he commanded them to wait for the Holy Spirit. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, this is the time when you will reestablish your kingdom and restore it to Israel. And he said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with or to know what time brings things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and season, their critical niche in time which the Father has appointed. Don't worry about the time, boys. That's not what it's about. By his own choice and authority and personal power, but you shall receive power ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very bounds of the earth. Let's go on to verse, let's see. Where do I want to go? Chapter 2, verse 1. We are preparing because on May the 19th, Sunday morning, around the world, there's a body of believers, a multitude of thousands and tens of thousands who have been praying and preparing and praying for a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in this world and around the world. In Asia, it has caught on fire. I'm telling you, hundreds of thousands of people are assembling across Asia and in Brazil, and they are praying for a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And as we come to the date of the celebration of the day of Pentecost, May 19th, believers are going to gather together everywhere around the globe at a New Life Christian Church and World Outreach in Warsaw, Indiana, with a spirit of expectancy, knowing that just as Joel prophesied that in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions, and out of my spirit, I will pour out on all flesh. And so we're going to come and assemble with expectancy and say, God, give us a fresh baptism. We need this in our life today. We need this in our world today. We don't have the answers for man, but God, you do. And they don't even just need words. They need demonstration. They need to see your presence by the demonstration of your power. And we're going to see a move of God in this earth. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be on the sidelines watching it happen. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it and allowing it to happen through me. How about you? I don't know what you came to church for this morning, but I came to get more of the Holy Ghost and power. Anyway, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast. It filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which separated and distributed on and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression, each tongue in appropriate words. How would you like to go to a church service like that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He hasn't lost any power. He hasn't lost one ounce of power since that day. Not at all. Matter of fact, he said, we have the Spirit without measure. Yes. That means there's more. Say, there's more. There's more. How do I know? Because it's in you, and it's in you, and it's in you, and it's in you. And as it's birthed in us and through us and on us, and we come together in assembly, we have the Spirit without measure. Amen. And he likes to demonstrate and show himself strong. He likes to show the world that he's a big God. Amen. He is a big God. You know, so being raised Baptist, I was told, well, there's only one baptism. That's when you get saved and they take you and they put you in the tank and they dunk you and you identify with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Yeah. There's only one baptism. Anybody get told that besides me? Well, let's look at the word. Let's see what the word says. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water. That's a baptism unto salvation, right? Okay. Just checking. Make sure you're tracking with me. But it says, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized. You shall be baptized into the Holy Spirit. That's a second baptism. So don't believe that lie anymore. That's a tradition of man that's made the word of God of no effect. We're going to stick with the book. We're going to stick with what Jesus said. Amen? Amen. What God inspired. There's two baptisms. There's the baptism unto salvation. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's different. It comes after this baptism of salvation. When you're born again, you are born of God. The word says that old things are passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God. And God is a Trinity. He's the three in one. So when you get born again, you get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So when you get born anew, he fills your vessel with himself. So when people tell you, have you ever heard this one from the Pentecostals? If you don't speak in tongues, you're not born again. You don't have the Holy Ghost. When you're born again, you have to speak in tongues. You can be born again. Your vessel can be born anew. All things are of God. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost residing in you. But there's a separate and a secondary baptism to salvation. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yes, yes. We have Spirit of God in us through salvation. So you can't look at a born-again child of God and say, oh, the Holy Spirit isn't in you. You need to get the Holy Spirit. They've already got the Holy Spirit. They just need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's better. Better, 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 better. It's a gift. It's a treasure. It is a treasure. And I had a verse for that, but I'm not sure where it is. Anyway, we're going to keep establishing his truth according to his word. I love this. The word power in Acts 1:8, which we read, you shall receive power from on high to be witnesses. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. And that word dunamis means dynamite. You know, as a teenager, we visited a Baptist church on a Sunday morning. I was 13 years old, and they had a fiery evangelist preaching. And he was talking about missions, and he was talking about, you know, just selling his life out for Jesus Christ. And I don't know what he said, but all of a sudden, I came to the understanding that just because I was born in a Christian nation, and I believed there was a God, and I believed that the Bible was, in fact, his inspired word, I was still on my way to hell. Right. Because I never consciously, willingly made a decision to call on his name, to believe and receive him as Savior and Lord. All I knew was, church is good. Yeah, the Bible's God's word. Yeah, you know, I shake my head and agree to all that. So that day I walked forward and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I believe I sincerely meant it when I went forward and prayed that prayer. Now, I didn't live very much like a Christian until I was 23. It took 10 years. I went back to school with my Bible. I was so excited about what had happened. I witnessed to all my friends, and they ran from me in droves. And so my fresh found, you know, faith in Jesus Christ and all that soon was, the fire was put out. I put my Bible on the shelf. I walked away from it. I said, this is too hard. I can't do it. I can't please God. I can't please people. I'm, you know, so much for that. And then it took another 10 years before God really arrested me. But it says you shall have power to be a witness. That word witness, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. You know what that word said? It used the word martyr. Martyr. Part of our power to be a witness is that we're willing to die to ourselves and die to our own reputation and live for the reputation of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't do that. I was born again, but I was powerless. Right. I needed the Holy Spirit, but I didn't even know about him. I needed the power that's talked about in the book of Acts and demonstrated through the lives of the apostles, but I didn't even know about it. Maybe you've been struggling with sin in your life. Maybe you've been struggling not to be embarrassed on the job, to stand up for Jesus Christ. Or when you feel the Holy Spirit just speak to you in here, you need to pray for that person. You need to tell that person the plan of salvation. And you back off because you just don't feel like you've got the courage or the boldness to do it. You need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. You need to realize that the power to be a witness has been given to you. It's a free gift from God. It's a treasure that he left us. He commanded his disciples. He didn't ask them or suggest it. He commanded. You need to go. You need to wait in that upper room until my Holy Spirit comes. And it came as a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit was in a hurry to get here to help us. And he hasn't left. And he hasn't lost any of his power. That word power means strength and might and ability. I needed that strength, might, and ability. 10 years later, when I finally did surrender my life completely to Jesus Christ and went from just being born again and making Jesus my Savior, but to making Jesus my Lord, there was a fresh hunger burning on the inside of me for more of God. I knew I needed more than what I had experienced before. And my spiritual ears, I guess, were open because all of a sudden I kept hearing terminology about the Holy Ghost. And every time I heard somebody say anything, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, I mean, I was like, holy, whatever, I need to find out who he is. I need to find out who he is. I need some of that. And Pastor is giving testimony to it. I started watching Christian TV, and he'd come home from school, and I'd be on my knees with my hand on the television praying with Oral Roberts to receive the Holy Ghost. And it took me a little while until we got to where somebody literally laid hands on me and prayed for me. And, you know, I was expecting goosebumps. I was expecting earthquakes, and that didn't happen. It was a step of faith, just like when I opened my mouth and I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I opened my mouth and I gave voice to syllables and sounds that I heard in my gut. And as I did, rivers of living water became to flow from my innermost being. And even though I didn't have goosebumps and all kinds of wonderful feelings, I knew that I knew that I knew that I found exactly what I was looking for. I knew this. I mean, I could have gone around jumping, skipping, and singing for like the next year. This is it. This is it. And that's what they asked the disciples. When they poured out into the street after the day of Pentecost, they said, what is this? They couldn't figure it out. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And they were going, what is this? And the apostles said to them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that power. This is that Holy Ghost. And I remember when I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I knew that I knew that I knew that I would never backslide again. I was a back and forth slider before that. I'd try, I'd fail. I'd try, I'd fail. I'd try, I'd fail. I'd try, and I'd fail over and over and over again. And I felt like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. I want to do what's right, but I don't seem to do what I want to do. Is that the right Romans 7? Okay. He's my walking concordance. And so I try and fail and try and fail, but when I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I knew I would never backslide again. I knew I had been endued with the power to be a witness, to walk out this walk, to be who God created me to be. And I'll tell you what, some of you here today might be thinking, well, I am filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm still backsliding. What's up with that? Stir it up again. You need a fresh baptism. Stir it up again. The word exhorts us, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. It's a gift from God to empower you to live this Christian life in the power and the demonstration of a great and mighty God who has come to set the captives free. And if he's going to do it, he's going to do it through us. Some people said it all died with the apostles. Some people told us that it wasn't for today. It wasn't for me. That this gift that God talked about in Acts, the second chapter, wasn't for today. That it was for them, that we don't need it anymore. Or maybe it's just for a few people. Well, let's see what the word says. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter answered them, "Repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. Listen, today, some of you have been thoroughly mixed up and too well set in doctrines of man that have killed the benefits of being a believer that you are. It's time for you to repent of unbelief. It's time for you to change your views. If your views are not viewing God as he truly is, it is time to repent and change your views. That's right. Amen. And to accept and purpose, on purpose, accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. When the lie comes to your mind that says it's not for you, I don't need it, that's for somebody else, reject that thought. It is for you. And it says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That is the baptism of salvation, the first baptism, for the release and forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift, say the gift, of the Holy Spirit. It's not like those goofy gifts that your second cousin gives you on Christmas, that you want to re-gift or use in a white elephant, you know, exchange. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a power gift. It's an amazing gift. With that gift, the Word of God tells us when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit will take witness and take hold with our spirit and pray out the perfect will of God. How many times have I relied on the gift of my heavenly prayer language to pray the perfect will of God in situations that I didn't know how to pray? For myself and for others. What a gift. When I felt weak, the Word of God says, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You get renewed strength. It's like putting cables on a dead battery and connected to a live battery and charging life back into that deadness. That's what happens when you pray in the Holy Spirit. You don't need that? I do. I need that. We were talking about the fact that people tell you that it's not for us today. Verse 39 says, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, it is for me. That's what the Bible says. It is for you. And it is for your children. Say, it's for my children. And to and for all that are afar away. That doesn't mean across the world. That means generations to come. It started on the day of Pentecost, and it was for those that were gathered in the upper room, and we saw the evidence that after they poured out of the upper room, it was for 3,000 more. And as you continue to read the book of Acts, it was for 5,000 more on another day, and more as they continued to multiply and go and spread the gospel message of Jesus' love for salvation and his baptism into salvation and his baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was for you and those that are far away. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Generations. He didn't say, okay, we'll finish with these boys and that's it. No. No. It's for all of us. It's for you and it's for your children and it's for all the generations that will come from you. Don't believe that lie anymore. It's for you. It is for you. The Holy Spirit fell as the apostles laid hands on the believers. It was imparted through the laying on of hands. The apostle Paul was preaching to a group of believers in Acts 19. And they said to him, "Hey, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost." But as he continued to preach and teach and speak to them about this gift of the Holy Spirit, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. I know it's weird, but it's miraculous. It's supernatural. Don't you want a little super on your natural? I need that. I love it. I enjoy it. And so we go from just being born of the Spirit with the life of God in us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to being immersed. Immersed. Absolutely immersed in Him. Can I have the musicians come up and play? I want to pray for you. I believe God desires, just like He did on the day of Pentecost, that He's anxious and He wants to endue you with power from on high. But I want to ask you first, have you been born of the Spirit? The most important thing is that you know Him. That you're born of the Spirit, because the greatest gift is that gift of salvation, the gift that translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, that in Him old things are passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God. If you're not born of the Spirit, if you were to die today and you don't know for sure that when your body, your earth suit falls to the ground lifeless and your spirit goes on to eternity, because we were created in His image and likeness, we were created eternal beings, and we will either spend eternity with Him as His child by access of His blood in the heavenlies, or we'll go to a place of separation from Him for eternity. The Word says today is the day of salvation. Are you born of the Spirit? If you're not, today is the day. Change your mind. Change your views about God and who He is, because He loves you. The Word says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much He loves us. He didn't wait for us to get our act cleaned up. While we were yet sinners, He paid the ultimate price. He became our greatest treasure. With every eye closed and all heads bowed, if you're here today and you can't honestly say, "I know that I know that I know, Pastor Debbie, that if I were to die today, I'd find myself standing in the presence of Almighty God." Just like the apostle who said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you don't know that for sure, I want to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand. Today is the day of salvation. Don't leave here without knowing Him. Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Your life can be changed for eternity. Amen, amen. If you're born of the Spirit and you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of that power, that gift from on high, the power to be a witness, the power to renew your strength, the power to pray the perfect will of God, the power that comes with so many more gifts, that's a whole nother sermon. If you haven't been baptized in that power and you don't want to leave here today without it, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I see several hands raised. Several hands raised. I'm going to ask you to be bold. And this is the last time you're going to have to do it in your own strength, because there's a Holy Ghost boldness that comes on you when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in His Holy Spirit, He gives you His boldness. I want you to slip out of your seat right now and come forward. Come receive this great gift from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Believers that have the Holy Ghost, come on, stir it up. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, over and over again through the book of Acts, the word says that the apostles laid their hands on the believers and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues. You got to shut your mind down. You got to open your mouth. You have to vocalize what's rising up within your spirit. Just open your mouth by faith. And I know that the Holy Spirit is going to give you your heavenly language, because He's a good God and He gives good gifts to those who ask. He withholds nothing from us. He wants you to receive this power from on high, but you can't do it with your mouth closed. You got to open your mouth. You got to give voice to it. So when I come by and I lay hands on you, I want you to lift your hands in a submission of receptivity to the power of heaven coming into you right now, and receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are you ready? Lift your hands. Raise them up high. Receive the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Receive.